From team headquarters, this is the 49ers Studios Podcast. It's time for another edition of the 49ers Studios Podcast, and I'm thrilled to have the guest here with me this week. It's the man who sets the bar in the broadcasting world. He'll be on the call for Thursday Night Football with 49ers and Rams here at Levi's Stadium. It's Mike Tirico. Mike, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thanks for the intro and thanks for the hospitality. It's good to do one of these with someone in person. Usually you're on the phone, so it's nice to be here.
Mike, it's good to have you here. You just got done with all your production meetings here in the executive conference room at 49ers HQ. And so I don't know how much time you've gotten to spend with this regime, your Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, and all the brain trust trying to turn things around in San Francisco. And so what are your impressions as you sit here and talk to these guys ahead of the primetime game Thursday night?
Well, a couple of advantages. Doing 10 years of Monday Night Football and then Football Night in America, our studio show last year. I've done 11 years on the road covering the NFL before this year, and then probably another 10 before that in the studio at ESPN. So over these 20-some-odd years, you get to see so many of the names and faces, and that's the case with John, who I've seen around at a bunch of different things, including covering him. Kyle, I got to see him through his coordinator days, even going back to Houston. Kyle got started just like Sean McVay, the opposite coach here on Thursday night. Both got started as offensive assistants for John Gruden. So I had a real interesting window in getting to meet and know both of them along the way here with my old Monday Night Football partner. So I've known these guys for a while, and the big advantage for us for doing this Thursday night game, it's the only primetime game that the Niners have this year, and same with the Rams, is the fact that we had them in the preseason in Minnesota in week three. So I was at that game on site and got some time around everyone else as well. So I had a great sense of a feel and a vibe. Had an awesome sit-down conversation with John and Mike and Kyle. Do that once on the podcast. I will not do it on the air. And I wish the whole half hour, 25 minutes, whatever it was, could have aired because it was terrific. And the impression I got, to get to the meat of your question, they are in lockstep, unlike most GM head coach tandems in the league. Can that sustain? You hope so. I see more signs that it can here. It's very odd that the head coach was in place and he had influence on who the GM was going to be, but I think that's going to help this thing work going forward.
When you look at the team and the roster and you're getting to know it, and again, you saw a little bit of it in preseason, the offense clearly isn't what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at defense and some of those building blocks and foundational pieces that are there, do you get the sense that, you know, John Lynch's favorite line, brick by brick, that some of those bricks are starting to be put in place?
Well, I certainly got the sense watching the Seattle game. If you didn't have a sense beforehand, that was an impressive effort. Robert Saleh was in here. We talked to him during our production meetings. He says, your 49ers fans are finding out, not just a good coach, very impressive man. And I think he's doing good things with some good talent. You had three first-round draft picks the last 3 years up front to play there, and they're joining other guys, very solid. Reuben Foster, the 11 snaps we saw of him against Carolina, whet your appetite. I think John's observation was very legit. The freak athletes tend to be freak healers, too, so maybe we'll see him back in there sooner than later. Unfortunately, not for Thursday, but the defense looks good. That defense looks like an NFL defense. Now, can the offense get there? There were plays that were open that, for a variety of reasons, didn't connect. Brian had a couple of overthrows. We had Marquise with a couple of drops. Those things will happen. Carlos Hyde looked really good here. You know, a couple opportunities there to open your eyes. You know Pierre Garçon is going to get you tough first downs as the season goes on. So this would be a great game to get because it gets you to that first little mini break in the season at 1-2 with not just a positive, but the Seattle experience becomes a positive. Hey, guys, we can hang in games. We can play with anybody in the league. You go to Seattle and you get in a fight with them and hang in there till the very end, and then you can come back and get some offense going. This could be a real, not a pivotal point in the season. Nobody's expecting this to be a 12-4 division champion this year. Could be a very important foundation win for this organization.
I completely agree, and I'm glad you brought up Robert Saleh. I just had this kind of thought yesterday, and he's speaking at his press conference, and I'm looking at a future NFL head coach.
Yeah.
The makeup, the way players gush about him in terms of his knowledge, his football acumen, his ability to motivate, his ability to relate to his players. I mean, and that's the line of defensive coaches from that Pete Carroll tree with Gus Bradley, Dan Quinn, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
And I think Robert Saleh, you can just tell this guy's got a lot of moxie in the makeup. I have a fun story for you.
Okay,
I do want to talk broadcasting a little bit. And we didn't discuss this, just so the viewers know before we went on here and started the podcast, but Way back in 2012, the lockout year with the Lakers.
Okay.
I was a PR intern, and I didn't have any desire to get into the PR world. I was wanting to pursue broadcasting, and but the beauty of working for the Lakers was that even that there was like I think that was their last playoff season. They're on national television quite a bit, so you get to meet the Kevin Harlans and the Marv Alberts and the Mike Breens and the Mike Tirico's. And I'll never forget, I introduced myself. We were in the cafeteria before the game, and I introduced myself, and this isn't against anybody else. Everything was very kind. But I was just your kindness and how open you were just really struck me. And I'm a, you know, nobody, an intern at the Lakers, and you get it all the time, I'm sure. And so I just wanted to say there's no moral of the story other than I've been a gigantic – I was a big fan before, and I was a gigantic fan since because it's great to meet good people in the industry.
Thank you.
And you were more than kind asking about where I went to school. I was a senior at Chapman at the time, and you know, it was just, anyway, you made an impression, so it's great to reconnect now, 5 years later.
Yeah, exactly, and here you are. You're off doing great things. And the neat part of that that I can turn, thank you for sharing that, is people were great to me coming up. And at Syracuse University, where I went to school, and we have a great, you know, you talk about people off of a tree and who's off of whose tree and coaching often in football. Well, our tree back there is Marv Albert and Bob Costas and Dick Stockton, and then of a more current ilk now, Ian Eagle interned for me, Dan Horde, who's the voice of the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, you go over these, Hank Greenwald, who was out here forever, involved with the Giants. Hank was an alum. All worked at the same college radio station all over a variety of years. Beth Mowins, who just did the Monday night game and broke the glass ceilings, the first female to do play-by-play on a nationally televised game. Beth is an alum of Syracuse's Graduate School of Communications. We've got a whole bunch of kids coming along in the pipe now. So it's an exciting thing for us. And when we were in school, Marv and Bob and Dick Stockton and Hank Greenwald as well would always come back and give us time. So I think we all feel that that's second nature to us. I wish I had more time to do it. But the schedule sometimes, Thursday night, Sunday night, gets a little hairy. But I appreciate you saying it, and I'm glad it's worked out for you as well.
Yeah, the need to pay it forward, always something that's important in whatever industry you're in. You've gotten the opportunity to work in some of the pinnacle moments in sports, starting with Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Give me that experience, maybe your best John Gruden. Because he's such a personality, so likable on the air. You guys were fantastic. I know you've had great memories. And so maybe for our listeners, a good Gruden story.
Well, there are so many. Here's how we can encapsulate John. What you see is what you get. What you see is even a toned-down version of what he is. He is intense. You know, you'll wake up at 6:30 in the morning. You think you're getting a good start to the day, and you'll turn on your phone. You'll have two videos that John sent from his office. Hey, I want to show you this blitz. John, get me up on the board. Spider, you need to learn how to draw a spider 2Y banana, the whole famous thing from the coach's quarterback thing. You need to get up on the board and draw this. John would give you grief. I'm trying to think of the player who it was now. John would give you grief. For some reason, we're doing lineups of a Redskins game, and I said that somebody who ended up being a very bit receiver, didn't play much, had a great chance. He was injured, but the Redskins think he'll be back down the line. It was the first question I asked the coach when he came in for our meeting. It was like I was just killing time while everybody was getting their notes settled and saying hello. So John, the next day, I have a Redskins jersey of this guy waiting for me in the Monday Night Football bus. He loved to bust you know what with guys. He loved to give you grief. He could take it as well. He hated doing the on-camera opens, but he's gotten so good at him now that I give him heck all the time. Like, hey, man, you're better than me on TV. He is he's a character. I'm blessed because I've had the chance in the last few years to do nationally televised games on Sunday night when I filled in for Al for a couple of games, now Thursday night and Monday night with the two best analysts. And that's not a knock to Troy, not a knock to Tony Romo, but Chris Collinsworth has more Emmys than anybody for studio and doing the games. And John's as good as it gets. And I had the chance, I go from one great analyst to another. I am so ridiculously spoiled. Those guys not only do it on the air, but you hear their questions. If you were in the room here off the air, coaches give us information because our analyst comes in and he's done the work. He's not just saying, hey, what are you going to do? He's asking about the blitz you ran on 3rd and 8 2 weeks ago. And that knowledge allows the coaches to believe in Chris Collinsworth and John Gruden. And that's what makes the broadcast, hopefully, for all of our team so much fun for people at home to watch.
That's fascinating. I think fans everywhere, specifically 49ers fans, I mean, these production meetings aren't talked about much, so to allow those people to be the fly on the wall in here is great. Again, now the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And before I let you go, I got to talk about the Olympics because I'm fascinated by the Olympics. There's no event like it. I had Marquise Goodwin on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted to just tell me about wearing USA on your chest. That's an unbelievable honor, something that nobody can relate to. And you get to be a part with Bob Costas of the broadcast team. Yeah. And I imagine that's got to be a nice notch on the belt for your broadcasting career.
Yeah, you know, we did an event in New York February 8th or 9th, and it was announced that I was going to follow Bob, not replace, because you don't replace Bob Costas, you follow. Follow Bob as the primetime host for NBC's Olympic coverage here starting this coming February in South Korea. And it was just one of those days that you're like, is this really happening? I'm not hosting the Olympics, am I? So I've got a kid's enthusiasm and excitement about that, and anticipation's really building, even though it's only late September. February is going to come here. We know how fast the football season goes. And you're going to end football season, it's January, and the U.S. Figure Skating Championships are over here in San Jose. And a month later, we're over at the Olympics. So here we go. You know, get ready to go fast and learn about luge and all the other sports. But to the Olympics, I'll give you two quick ones. I did the closing ceremony last year on NBC with Mary Carrillo and Ryan Seacrest. And when would you see the three of us in the same room, anywhere but the Olympics? And you're looking down, and most of the athletes who were there in Rio at the Maracanã, the big stadium in Rio, mm-hmm. most of those athletes didn't win medals. But they had the greatest time of their lives. And it dawned on me at that point, I said it on the air, they can say that they're Olympians. They competed in the Olympic Games. And that translates in every language. Translates all over the world.
And you can't take that away.
You can never, ever. So you see Goodwin, Olympian. No, he's an Olympian. Think about all these great athletes. He competed in something that goes back to the 1890s, the ancient Greeks and all this stuff. So that's great. And then we talked to a bunch of U.S. athletes this summer when we gathered them to talk about the upcoming Olympics. And we asked a group about four or five, when did you know, when did you feel that something special about being part of the Olympics? You know what they said? When I got my USA swag, when I got my gear, and then I walked into the opening ceremony, I'm looking, here's this one, here's that one, here are these people from other sports, and now we're all together, and we are representing our country with the whole world watching. It's really cool. And to know that I'll be tangentially a small part of bringing that home to America for 17 consecutive nights in February, February 8th to the 25th, by the way, yep. on the networks of NBC, in case you... Don't
Love
have
it.
A,
plug
a,
it. A little plug, plug it. Plug
I,
it.
I could not be more excited about it. It's going to be a great thing for us.
That's incredible. You encapsulated it so perfectly. I mean, giving me chills. I mean, that thought is, you know, a dream for everybody. And again, something you can't take away from those people. Last question. Give me your Miracle on Ice moment. Give me the moment that, my God, I called that.
Yeah, you know, there are a bunch of great plays and great moments I've been involved with over the years. Not as many, I think, in terms of calling the events, but I'll give you one. And that is when the New Orleans Saints played the Atlanta Falcons, and it was probably one of the bigger games that we had going at that year because it was after Hurricane Katrina. And we had the chance to do that game in the Superdome in New Orleans. And to see a city come back, and you realize at that point that the game was important, but letting everybody in the city of New Orleans tell the world that their city was open for business again, to me, that was the most important thing. To be a part of that moment was pretty special.
That's a good one, because when you're not attached to those teams, there's those moments where I remember where I was when. And I remember watching Steve Gleason block that punt and the noise in that building. You know, one when they came out to the Saints come marching in, then after that moment, I mean, it gave you chills, having no relation, nothing to do with the Saints or Falcons. I think that was an entire day that was pretty special for everybody, and I appreciate you sharing it with me.
No problem.
Mike, it was a joy chatting with you. Enjoy the call tomorrow night, and really appreciate you joining the podcast.
Great being with you. Thanks a bunch.
That's Mike Tirico of NBC Sports. He'll be on the call tomorrow night, 49ers and Rams, Thursday night football at Levi's Stadium. We'll see you next week on another 49ers Studios podcast.